Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our weekly Tehillim class. It's a great honor and privilege to be able to learn with you. Just a few notes of housekeeping before we jump in. We're going to be studying chapter 58 of Tehillim as we continue through the study of Tehillim. So we're up to chapter 58. Just a quick note is that next week we will be learning on Thursday together, as we always do, and that will be it for a few weeks as I will be departing on vacation. So we are on next week, and then for a number of weeks afterwards, we will not be on. The question is, when do we come back in person? And my goal is that, please God, we'll be back in person in Elul, but we'll also be online. So there'll be an online option and an in-person option. But I beg of you, I implore you, I plead with you, that if you live in Boca, please join us in person. You cannot compare the experience of learning together in person with learning online. And as much as I love sitting in front of my computer and talking to a screen and seeing some of your faces and some of your names, it's astronomically a more enjoyable experience when we are in a room together. We can interact with each other. We can ask questions together. We can explore together. This feels very frontal. That feels very educational. So, again, if it's possible, please try to join us back in person. If not, hopefully there will be an online option as well. We are working on that, how to make that as seamless as possible, and we hope to be able to make that happen. So again, chapter 58 of Tehillim, and here we go. We are going through. If you have never studied Sefer Shmuel Aleph, you really are these last few Prakim of Tehillim. A lot of them go through the various storylines. We've learned a number of prakim in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, and we're going to do so again this week as well. The chapter we're about to study is quite historical in the sense that there's a very specific story that it is in reference to. But let's just start with the broad idea of what this is about. First of all, this is the second of three chapters that all start off in the same way. L'menetzeach al tashchis l'David michtam. Again, that phrase, al tashchis, right, those words, al tashchis, do not destroy, are all in reference to Shaul's pursuit of David. We're going to talk about, again, that today. And again, if you remember the last week, next week as well, you will see that all of this has to do with Shaul's pursuit of David. Which is interesting, because in a strange sense, there are other chapters of Tehillim which resonate with us more profoundly. Right, when we talk about Shir Amalos Mimam Hakim Krasicha Hashem, from the depths I call out to you, that feels much more universal to us. It's a little bit more difficult when you get into these chapters, which are directly about David and his enemies pursuing him. David will see in this chapter, in a very, very harsh way, davens for the downfall of his enemies. And we'll see he uses very striking language to daven for that. But you have to again remember, David was being pursued. It was literally a matter of life and death for him. So we can't sanitize that story. But it's a little bit harder for us to relate to. So what I find interesting is, first of all, hopefully there will be a part of this that, you know, I'll always try to make it relatable, but also it's an opportunity to study Sefer Shmuel, right? The parts that might not be as relatable to us because they're about the story of David and Shaul and enemies. So again, it's a wonderful opportunity for us to understand the contrast or the context of Sefer Tehillim vis-a-vis the studying of Sefer Shmuel. So let's jump right in. Chapter 58 of Tehillim. L'menatzeach al tashchis l'David michtam. What is this talking about? Says Rashi over here. Mizmor zeh. You know what? Actually, let's read chapter verse 2. Ha'umnam elem tzedek tidaberum. What does that mean? Ha'umnam. Right? So the word umnam here, let me just find where I have my underline. The word ha'umnam means ha'emet. Means it's true. Elem tzedek tidaberum. Do you really decree that which is just? In other words, are you really saying that which is just? Tishbetu b'nei Adam. Do you really judge all of mankind equally? What are we talking about here? What is the context of this parak? So if you look in Rashi now, so Rashi says, Mizmor zeh amar al sheba el ha-ma'gal asher sho'ol shochev sham velakach es ha-chanis ves ha-tzapachas v'halach lo v'kara halo taneh avner. So this, according to Rashi, is a very specific chapter in David and Shaul. And if you want to look it up, it is chapter 26 in Sefer Shmuel Aleph. David HaMelech, once again, has the opportunity to spare Shaul's life. the Zifim, which we've learned about previously. So the Zifim, they revealed David's whereabouts, and Shaul is once again in pursuit of David. And then all of a sudden, we come to a fateful night. Vayomer, so right, here we go. David, here, let me just find the pasuk. Hey, vayakum David vayavo el amakom asher chana sham Shaul. David comes to the place where Shaul is lying down, where he's sleeping. Vayar David es hamakom asher shacham sham Shaul. David sees where Shaul is sleeping. Avner Bener Sar Tzvao, Avner, his general, who David does not love right now either, he is sleeping there also. V'Shaul Shochei B'Magal, Shaul is sleeping in a circle. V'Am Chonim Svivosav, and the nation is sleeping around him. Obviously, as some form of protection. V'Yan David V'Yomer El Achimelech Achiti V'El Avishai Ben Tzruya Achi Yoav Lemor Mi Reidi Tiel Shaul. He says, "Who's with me? Who's coming down to Shaul?" Vayomer Avishai, ani ered imach. Avishai says, "I will go with you." Vayomer David vaAvishai el haam laila v'hinei Shaul shochev yashen b'magal v'chaniso meucha ba'aretz me'rasho sab. So Shaul is sleeping there, and his spear is plunged into the ground by his head. Right, in other words, that's where he kept his spear for the night. V'am shochvim svivosab, and the nation is sleeping around him. Vayomer Avishai el David, Sigar Elohim ayom es oivecha biyadecha. Ha ha, jackpot! Hashem placed your enemy right into your hand. Ve'ata akenuna bechanis uva'aretz pamachas velo eshne lo. Right? All it's going to take me is one shot. Right? Give me one spear, one opportunity with the spear, I will be able to make Shaul go away. Vayomer David el Avishai al tashchisehu. David says to Avishai, "You're not doing anything." Ki mishalach yado b'mashiach Hashem nika. Very similar to the story we studied last week. David says, "How can you kill the Mashiach Hashem, the Anointed One of Hashem?" Vayomer David chay Adonai ki manaya yigafenu o yomo yavo v'meso mechama yireid v'nispeh. David says again, "We're not killing him." Chalila li me Adonai mishloach yadim Mashiach Adonai v'ata. But what are we going to do? Rather, kach na sachanis asher merashosav ves hatzapach hatzamayim v'nel chalanu. This is exactly what Rashi is referring to here. David instead says, take the spear, take the flask of water, and let's go on our way. So, vayikach David, we're on Pasuk Yibbeis. Vayikach David, again, for those who are joining a little bit late, we are studying chapter 58 of Tehillim, and we are corresponding it to chapter 26 of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, which is where Rashi and the Malbim draw our attention. So David HaMelech had the opportunity to kill Shaul. He says, "I'm not killing Shaul," but instead he takes the flask of water and he takes the spear. So what happens the next day? Right, in the pasuk is very interesting. Vayikach David asachanis v'asapach asamayim v'yelchu lahem v'ein roe v'ein yodea v'ein mekitz ki kula mishenim ki terdemas Adonai naflu aleim. Right, they were in a very deep sleep. Nobody had any clue that David was there, David and Avishai were there, and that they had opportunity to kill Shaul and to massacre everyone. Nobody had any clue. So the next day, David gets up and he goes across the mountain so that he's at a safe distance. And what happens? He says, he screams, Vayikra David al Am, Vel Avner Bener Lemor, Halo Tane Avner. Right? Like, is everything okay over there? Vayan Amir, Vayomer Miata Karas Elamelch. Who are you that you're calling out to the king? Vayomer David Elavner, Halo Ishata. Umi Kamocha, B'Yisrael. Velama lo shamarta el Adonecha Melech. David makes fun of Avner. He says, you're such a big general. Why didn't you guard the king? Ki ba'achad ha'am la'ashchis es ha'melech Adonecha. Because someone was in very close proximity to killing the king. Lo tova davar hazeh asher asisa. Right, you did not do a very good job protecting Shaul. Chai Adoni ki b'nei maves atem asher lo shamartem al Adonaichem al Mashiach Adonai. Right, you are deserving of death because you did not fulfill your responsibility to protect the king. And he says, and he's poking fun at him a little bit. He says, ve'ata Do me a favor, Avner. Do you mind going and finding the spear of the king or the jug of water of the king? Vayaker Shaul as kol David. Shaul overhears this and he recognizes David's voice. Vayomer hakolecha zebeni David. Is this the voice of my son David? Vayomer David koli Adoni Hamelech. He says, yes, it is me. Vayomer lama ze Adoni rodev acharei avdo. And David then says further, why are you chasing me to kill me? Ki me'asisi umebi adira. I've never done anything bad to you. Right, I've had an opportunity now twice to kill you. I haven't. So it's clear I'm not having nefarious intentions against you. Why is it that you're chasing me? Ve'ata yishmana Adoni HaMelech es divrei avdo, im Adonai yasischa bi'yarach mincha, dot. So Shaul and David again, once again, are able to reconcile for a short period of time. So that is, according to Rashi, according to the Malbim, that is the backdrop to our Perek of Tehillim. Again, it is when David has the opportunity to kill Shaul, and he refrains from doing so. What is the Elem? So an Elem, right? Ha'umnam Elem Tzedek Tedaberim, as we said. Right? Are you an Elem? So Pshat is that Elem means a mute. That Elem means a mute. Elem also means something else. And we know this from Sefer Bracious. We know it from benching, which is me'almim alumim. They are sheaves of, bundle of sheaves. So what is this talking about? So if it's a bundle of sheaves, as the Malbim points out, let me just find the exact comment of the Malbim. The Malbim says, me'inyan me'almim alumim, ich te'agdu ve'techabru shnei hafachim. Right, me'almim means when you gather sheaves, when you gather a bundle of disparate sheaves together, so that you create a bundle of sheaves. So says the Malbim, if that's the imagery over here, what David HaMelech is actually asking is, how did you, all of you, gather together against me? And David is very frustrated about that. What if it is a mute? Elem means a mute. So here, it ties in a little bit better to the storyline. Because what David HaMelech is saying to Avner, is that you have the ability to convince Shaul that I am not out to get him. And yet, instead of convincing him, you are mute and you don't help me. Those are the two different understandings of Elem. Either he's frustrated that people are gathering against him, or he is frustrating that Avner has the opportunity or the ability to convince Shaul, and he is not doing it. Either way, you sense very clearly that David is frustrated right here. And therefore he says in Pasuk Gimel, Af belev olas tifalun ba'aretz chamas yedechen tifaleisun. Right? In other words, in your mind, in your heart, Af belev olas tifalun. Olas, of course, is like a korban ola, but it means here like wrongdoing. Right? In other words, you're scheming against me. Right? Chamas yedechen tifaleisun. With your hands, you are weighing against me, you like wishing harm against me, right? The mitzirosios and melashon ola again. Lo sofa davar shalola maratem zchus. It's bad enough, says the Radak. It says mitzvus David that you're not trying to find goodness within me. Notice you're not dan lekaf zchut. You're not finding goodness. At bekavanas halev tifalu haol baaretz tifalesin tiyashru as a chamas shebiadechem lomar ala chamas sheyasharu. But rather, what are you doing? You're dealing with this sense of lawlessness. Pasuk Gimel, Zaru Rishaim Meirechem. Very strange pasuk, right? Zaru means estranged. In other words, the wicked are already destined for their wickedness, Meirechem, from birth. Ta'u Mibeten Dovrei Chazav. Already the liars go astray from when they are in the utero, when they are in the mother's womb. In other words, you guys are wicked to the core. And again, we'll have to see exactly what that means, right? How is a person wicked to their core? Don't we believe in tshuva? Are people born that way? So we'll see in a little bit. Hold on. Chamas lamo kidmus chamas nachash, that your venom is like the venom of a snake, is like the poison of a snake. Kamo pesen cheresh yateim azno, like a deaf viper that stops his ear, that closes out like a snake, that closes up his ears, asher lo yishma lekol melachashim, that doesn't respond to the voice of any charmers, chover chavarim mechukam, and again, the expert murmurs of, again, the charmers. In other words, you're oblivious to anything around you. You don't even listen to the charmers that are trying to have an influence and impact on you. Elohim, charas shinemo. Now we begin, I believe it's the second section. Yeah, pasuk 7 already. We start the second section. So here you have, up until this point, again, a very clear description of David is harshly lamenting the deeds of the wicked. Notice the language that he's using. They are like snakes. They are venomous. They are wicked. Okay? Now what does he say to Hashem? Elohim, charas shinemo befimo, milata os, kfirim netutz Adonai. Hashem, what does he say? Smash their teeth. Smash their teeth. Destroy their teeth. Shatter their their milatasos, are their molars, right? Slash the molars of these young lions. Again, notice that the language, we've gone from snakes to now they're young lions. Yimasu kmo mayim, yishalchu lamo, let them melt and vanish like water. Yidroch chitzav, kmo yismolalu, let Hashem aim his arrows against them and be able to make them vanish, make them disappear. Pasuk tes, kmo shavluol temes yaloch, let them melt away like a shablul. A shablul is a snail, right? If you picture when the water comes, it just like wipes away, all the snails melt away. So these once fierce, venomous snakes and these lions, now they should be like a little snail that easily melts away. Nefel eshes bal chazu shamesh, like a woman's stillbirth, they should not be able to see the sunlight. In other words, make them destroyed, make them completely disappear. B'terem yavinu siroseichem atad, make them disappear before they grow into something worse. Before these thorns grow into a very large thorn bush, kmochai, kmocharon isarenu, let, again, may Hashem whirl them away, may Hashem make them disappear, right? Kmocharon isarenu, like a fury, like a gale force of a wind, make Hashem make them disappear. Yismach tzadik, and when all of this happens, the righteous one will rejoice, ki chazan akam, because he will have seen the vengeance, pa'amav yirchatz bedam harasha. Wow. He will bathe his feet in the blood of his enemies. That again is a very stark language. David HaMelech says the righteous will rejoice when they are bathing in the blood of their enemies. Beautiful imagery for today. Vayomer adam ach pri letzadik, and then people will say that there is fruit to the tzaddik, in other words, that the tzaddik will live on, ach yesh Elohim shofta haaretz, and yes, there is a God who judges over the world. Just a couple of notes, and then we'll obviously tie this all together. So number one is you get a very strong sense that David HaMelech is frustrated here. In the first section, he's frustrated by the wicked deeds of his enemies, and in the second section, what he's davening to Hashem is to take great revenge against those enemies, and when that happens, the righteous will rejoice. That's the clear, I'd say, theme of this chapter, right? When is this written? So again, it's very clear. It's written when Shaul's judges fabricate charges against him. They unjustly sentence him to death before the king. And David is frustrated by that. Why are you gathering against me? Avner, why are you silent as you have the opportunity to convince Shaul that I don't come with evil, wicked plans against him? What is Psukim 4 through 6? So again, that I thought was a beautiful imagery, that a snake that listens can be charmed and put into order, right? Even a snake, even wicked people, that if they are willing to listen, they can mend their ways. In Psukim 4 through 6, what frustrates David so much is that these wicked people aren't just wicked, but then they close their ears and they won't even listen to anyone trying to stop them. A Russia is so dangerous because they don't listen to anyone else. I think that is a beautiful idea, which reminds us that anyone can do tshuva. Anyone can repent. Why? Because if you're willing to listen to someone reprimanding you, if you're open to rebuke, then you'll be able to fix your ways. Couple of notes here. Number one is a pasuk that should bother all of us, which is pasuk 4. Zoru Rishai Merechem, that the wicked are wicked from birth. Ta'o mi beten dovri chazav, already they went astray when they were in their mother's womb. Who is this in reference to? Don't we believe in tshuva? Don't we believe that someone is the master of their own destiny? How can you say already that they were wicked from the birth? So here we come to a very famous story that you and I know from elsewhere in Tanakh. I'm just trying to pull it up. Here we go. Midrash Sheikh Socher Tov. Right? Vayit Rotetzu Habanim Bikirba, talking about Yaakov and Esav. We know this because Rashi quotes it. Kesheyo Veres Albate Avodazara, that when Rivka would go by the idolater's house, Hayim Mefarches Esav Latzeis, Esav was drawn towards it. Ve'alav Ne'amar, and on him it says the Medrash, Zor Rishay Merechem, tell me Betan Dori Chazav, that already in the mother's womb, the wicked would be wicked. Ukshay So Veres Lamakum Kedusha, and when she went to a base of Medrash, Yaakov Mefarches Latzeis, Vinidrash Vitrosu Lashon Merutza. Right, that they were running. That's why Yitzrotetzu Habanim Bikirba. We know that. We know that the beginning of Parshas told us. That, says the Medrash, that Rashi is quoting, is our Pasuk. Zo Rishoy Merechem, that the Rasha is already a Rasha from the womb, that is a reference to Yaakov and Esau. Now already that's interesting, because what it shows us is that this isn't just about David, Shaul, Avner, but this is part of a much broader fight, a much broader battle between Yaakov and Esav, which is the paradigmatic battle between good and evil. So this now broadens the scope of this chapter of Tehillim significantly. It's not just about David and Shaul, but it's about good versus evil in general. Now obviously we know that even on that medrash that Rashi quotes of Vayitrosu Abanim Bekarba, that Esav was drawn toward Avodah Zarah and Yaakov is drawn to the base medrash, it doesn't mean that it had to be that way, right? People have natural inclinations. I might be inclined to one thing and you might be inclined to another thing, but ultimately we can overcome that, right? So the Gemara already says that someone who has a tendency to the mazel of red, so they can either be a murderer or they can be a shochet or a moel. Right? So I have that same inclination, that same tendency, but it really is how do I channel that? How do I channel that drive? So just because Esav was drawn towards a certain set of values, he was naturally inclined to it, doesn't mean that it was fait accompli that he was going to be like that. Right? He gave into that, he succumbed to that. So what's interesting here is that's where I think you come back to Psukim 4-6. When it compares it to the venomous snake, Asher lo yishma lekol malach Hashim, who does not listen to the voice of the charmers. In other words, just because Esav had a proclivity towards a certain set of evil values, had he listened to reproof, he grew up in Rivka and Yitzchak's home, for God's sake. And if he had opened up his mind and heart to that, then perhaps things could have worked out differently. So I think that's a beautiful message within this chapter of Tehillim to begin with. But then I want to share with you a Gemara in Sota. Because the Gemara in Sota tells us the following story, and then I'll read it for you. That when Yaakov dies, and Yaakov is in Mitzrayim, and he says, please, whatever you do, don't bury in Mitzrayim. And they say, okay, we'll take you up to Eretz Yisrael. So they bring Yaakov's body to Maras HaMachpelah. And when they get there, Esav shows up. And Esav says, you cannot come into Maras HaMachpelah. This is my grave. This is where I'm supposed to be buried. So all the brothers, everyone's sitting around. They're all trying to figure out what happens. And they send Naftali, who's very fast. They say, Naftali, go back to Mitzrayim. Get the shtar, get the document that says that we have the rights to Maras Machpelah. So Naftali goes. Now from Hebron to Egypt is, again, nowadays on a plane, it's not so bad. But by foot, takes a little bit of time. So everyone's standing around. And everyone knows what's going on, except for one person. And that is Dan has a child whose name is Chushim. And Chushim is deaf. And Chushim can't hear what's going on. He can't hear the conversations back and forth. All he sees is that his grandfather's body is being desecrated by sitting around and not being buried. And so he comes and he sees that Esav is the one who's the impediment. And he comes and he kills Esav. And he chops off his head. And Esav's head rolls into Maras Machpelah. And the Gemara over there says that Yaakov opens his eyes and he smiles. Let me read you the Gemara. Chushim berei dedan. Taman have v'yikaren le Adonia. Right? In other words, he couldn't hear. Amar lehu, my high. He says, what is all this? Why are we delaying the burial? V'amru le kame'akev. Hi. Ada asi Naphtali. They said, this one, in other words, Esav, is preventing us until Naphtali comes back from Mitzrayim with the deed. So he says, wait a second, right? Until the Avi Abi at Mutal Bizayon. My grandfather is going to stay in a Bizayon. So what does he do? Shakal Kulpa. He takes a stick. Michaya Reshe. He hits Esav on the head. Natran Eine V'Naflu Achara De Yaakov. Paschina Yaakov Leine. Yaakov opens up his eyes. Ve'achich. And what does he do? And he smiles. Behind you, Dichsiv, and that is what the Pasuk says, Yismach Tzadik, Ki Chaza Nakam Pamav Yirchatz Bedam Rasha. The Gemara in Sota says, this is the Pshat in Pasuk 11 in our chapter of Tehillim of Yismach Tzadik. When Yaakov opens his eyes and smiles, that is a fulfillment of that Pasuk, Yismach Tzadik, that the Tzadik will be happy, Ki Chaza Nakam, because he saw vengeance, and his feet will be bathed in the blood of the wicked here being, of course, Esau. That is the Gemara in Sota. Says the Marsha. The Marsha says it isn't just that pasuk, but it's the entire chapter. He says, Yirasha kol zeh nidrash mimizmor zeh, that this entire story of Chushim and of Yaakov and Esau, it's all built into our Perek HaTehillim. Shamru zoru rishay merechem. When it says that the Rishayim are evil from the womb, who Esav? That's a reference to Esav, says the Marsha. Shekvar ba'odo barechem ayim mefarches aseis achar avodah zarah. Right? Because already in the womb he ran after avodah zarah. Toa ledaber kazav. Again, he was already speaking like a liar. Shalom machar chela kivro liyakov. Right? Because he lied about the fact that he really had a portion of Maras Machpela. Chamas lom lamo kidmus chamas nachash, that he was, the venom was like the venom of the of a snake, of like a deaf snake. So where is that? Right. Ba bekaso la'akev kvuraso ki kocho hu nachash akadmoni. Right, that he comes and he stops Yaakov from being buried. Again, he goes through the entire Perek HaTehillim and he correlates it all to our chapter, to that story in Sota. What is the message of all that? The message of all of that is obviously, as I said earlier, that this broadens the conversation. That it's not just about David and Avner, but it's about an ultimate struggle of good versus evil, as defined by the battle between Yaakov and Esau. That is what this Perek HaTehillim is about. This Perek HaTehillim is about a Perek HaTehillim we see enemies who are doing harm against us in a micro sense and in a macro sense. And it is when we daven to Hashem to destroy those enemies, to get rid of those enemies, to take revenge against those enemies. And when that happens, then we will rejoice. That is what I think the Midrashim and Chazal try to do to this Perek HaTehillim. Takes a Perek about a story and it broadens it. And as we've discussed in numerous opportunities in the past, that's really what Sefer Tehillim is about. When we talk about the timeless words of David HaMelech, that's what it's all about. David had experiences and he wrote about them in Sefer Tehillim. But what we do when we learn Tehillim is we broaden that out and we make those messages timeless. The battle between good and evil is a timeless battle. It applies in every generation. That is what this chapter is about. That is the struggle that we feel at the beginning of the chapter when we see the enemies succeed and it frustrates us, either because they're gathering together like the Malmim, like sheaves, or because that there are people out there that should speak up on our behalf and they are mute. And if that imagery doesn't speak to you, I don't know what does. When you think about the wars in Israel and how the media responds to those wars, and you sometimes want to strangle them and say, how could you be so quiet? How could you be so blind to obvious truths? Right? You're like an Elam. You know that if you opened up your mouth, you can defend the Jewish people. You could push back anti-Semitism. You can defend Israel. And yet people are like mutes. They don't want to talk. They're scared. Right? Again, I don't want to get too much into any political conversations. But that frustrates us to this very day. That's what frustrated David HaMelech. When David HaMelech says those words, Ha'umnam Elem, you're like a mute, he says to Avner. You have the opportunity, if you spoke up, to convince other people of the truth, and yet you're not using your power of your speech. I think that's very relevant to us in our generation. How frustrated we are when people don't use their speech to defend Israel or to battle back against anti-Semitism. So that frustrates us. And then we see that our enemies are like venomous snakes. Right? What's a snake? A snake is cunning, it's conniving, it's slithery. Right? It gets in and out and it seems to always avoid. Right? Our enemies seem to succeed. And it frustrates us. And so that's when we dive into Hashem for revenge. Not because we are malicious, not because we like seeing other people harmed, but for the very practical reason that David HaMelech davened for. And that is that it's a matter of life and death. That it's a matter of life and death. That we have to protect ourselves. And when enemies are seeking our destruction, we do our best, obviously, to reconcile. That's the Perek HaTehillim. David HaMelech had the opportunity to kill Shaul. He chooses not to. He tries to reconcile over and over, 2 weeks in a row of Tehillim. David has the opportunity to kill Shaul, and instead, he's reconciling. But you also have to recognize that at a certain point, if they're out to kill you, they're out to kill you. And that's when you dive into Hashem to protect you and to rid the world of that evil. And so I think, again, what the Gemara, what the Medrash, what the Marsha, what they try to do is they try to broaden this conversation out to make it very relevant for us nowadays as we, too, battle against so much of the frustration of seeing enemies of ours succeed, about seeing the ultimate battle between good and evil play out in our days, to see that there are those who can have the opportunity to speak out in favor of us and instead choose not to, which of course is very frustrating. And again, I think when you look at it in that light, this becomes a very relevant Perek of Tehillim. Everyone have a wonderful week. Look forward to seeing you all tomorrow morning, 9:30. 3 ideas, 30 minutes. And again, next week will be our last class for a few weeks as I am going up north to colder, I don't know, is it still cold up north? Who knows? I always assume it's cold up north. But we'll be up north for a few weeks and then we'll be back in Elul with a blending of in-person and online. Everyone have a beautiful week.